So Shabbat Shalom to everyone. So I was born in Israel in a kibbutz somewhere in the Negev nearby Gaza. You can all read and hear a lot about this area in our day and age. I was born in the 80s and very much in the kibbutz atmosphere in Israel of post-Holocaust Judaism. Very much the God is dead atmosphere. So my grandparents came from Moldova just years before the Holocaust took place. They went as idealists, as Zionists, to resuscitate the dead lands of Israel. And little did they know that just a few years later, the Holocaust will erupt and the whole Jewish community of their country and of the city Kishinev, and with it the whole remaining family there, will perish. So the atmosphere I grew up in was of this is all we have left. This country, our own might, our Jewish prowess and intelligence, this is what we have to do it with. So growing up, I really loved the Bible, the Tanakh, but it was communicated to us from a very early age that the Tanakh is a bit like you the English have Shakespeare as a cultural treasure, and we Jews have the Tanakh. It's a book of lovely stories. You can see it as a religious book, but why complicate things? It's just a lovely book with a myth about how things once began. And up till my teenage years, I took it for fact that, okay, nice stories. I can tell nice stories, and so could the Bible writers. But then in my teenage years, the knowing question started arising in me. What is the world all about? And what is life all about? What is my place in this universe? What is Israel's place? And why can't we just get along with everybody? Why are there so many wars within Israel and between Israel and, it seemed, all the other nations? And I started looking for answers. And so coming from the kibbutz system, coming from a secular socialist system, I first explored closest to home in our own Zionist socialist writings, all the philosophers of our movement. So I started reading their books. And soon enough, I was disappointed. All that I read was not satisfying me. Already in the 80s, we could see that although on paper socialism and communism may sound lovely, in reality it was not working. In the kibbutz, it was failing miserably. So I could see that however on paper it may sound lovely, this doesn't comport with reality. So I decided to take another step. So in our family, there were some people who were very active in the New Age, and it seemed to do much good to them. So I went to my aunt, who was a master in Reiki, and I told her, please teach me, please help me, because I'm looking for something. I don't exactly know what. So she did. And she introduced me to a book, and we did some yoga and all the other stuff. And in hindsight, God was leading me. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but he was leading me. And so, thank God, I didn't find any satisfaction in that. Because many, many Israelis, many, many Jewish people actually do find satisfaction in it and mistake it for the real deal. But all the while, I was secular in my understanding, secular in my perspective of life. And then one day at school, I remember it changed my life. I was just going in school and looking around me at nature, and all of a sudden this realization dawned on me that the world that I see around me was created. And I couldn't put it into words then, what I was seeing, what I was experiencing. But all of a sudden, the whole thought of evolution, things just happening, it was just there all of a sudden, didn't make sense. And so, whereas my search before was horizontal, now it became vertical. My quest became now to look for this God who created everything, because he can make sense of my own life, and finding him will help me understand who I am and what my life should be all about. So then you start closest to home. I was a secular Jew, but I was a Jew. So then I was in luck, because just in that year, an Orthodox rabbi came to our secular Jewish school, and with this mission of showing kids a bit more of Judaism's lovely face. And he was an amiable man, so after one of the classes, I confided in him, and I told him that I'm looking for truth, I'm looking for answers. And this lovely man decided that he will come from that moment on to teach me, to give me Bible studies, so to say. And he did. So an actual Bible study, it was not. It was more of a study about Judaism. He would take many thick and interesting books. The Bible was miraculously closed the whole time. But again, he shared from his heart, and what he shared was interesting, and it was lovely. And again, in hindsight, God was leading me. And somehow I couldn't find satisfaction in what he was telling me. And when I say satisfaction, I am a rational man. So it first has to make sense. It has to be reasonable. But then my quest was also existential. I was looking for truth for my inner being. I was looking for something which will help me make sense of my life as well, and which I can feel in my heart of hearts, this is true, and this will satisfy both my heart and my mind. So, okay, now this rabbi, in the months that we had together, also didn't give me the answers I was looking for. So I have looked in all the right places. Now it was time to look in the left places. So then one day I was going through my parents' home, and all of a sudden I saw a Hebrew New Testament sitting on one of the bookshelves. And I didn't know, but before I was born, there was a Christian volunteer who befriended my parents and who gave them a Hebrew New Testament. And she even wrote in it to my parents, "I hope that you see the light through this book." They haven't until then. And it was just there collecting dust, waiting for me to pick it up. So the world is very simply divided to two categories, us and them. And this book definitely didn't belong to us. It was the Christian version, the Christian book, the Christian myth, Jesus and the church, that's one group, and it doesn't belong here. So I knew that it was the forbidden book. But I was a teenager. Now, I thought that only in Israel people, teenagers, don't listen to the etiquette. Turns out to be universal. So I didn't find the answers in all the right Jewish places. And now I found this book. I didn't have any other resources to turn to. So I decided to just open it and start reading it. And I would have liked to say that the moment I read it, things just jumped out of the page, and exactly in one spot, I knew the whole gospel. I understood exactly who Jesus is and what my place in the universe is. But that didn't come just then and there. But what did strike me is the fact that it's all about Jesus. And so what I was expecting is a book which would be anti-Jewish, which would try to avert my attention from everything that belongs to Israel. And instead I found it was a book written in Hebrew, which definitely helped, but it was all about things which happened in Israel related to the Jewish people, the God of the Bible, and this Jesus, and he didn't fit in the whole scheme of things for me yet, but there was something odd about him. If you read through the Gospels, you read again and again of how the people were amazed of his teaching, that he didn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees, but as one with authority. This guy knew what he was talking about. But even more than that, you have people who can read a book and become an expert on it and tell you everything that you want to know about it. And then you have the author. So I understood in my heart of hearts that this Jesus, he was actually some kind of the author of the Bible. And again, without being able to put it into words in this period, I knew that my search has been completed in a sense. And that from now on, it is my quest to find out who this Jesus is. But this was a problem because I lived in Israel in the pre-Google era. And it was nearly impossible to find out anything about the Bible and Jesus at that time, especially if you live in a secular Jewish context. I didn't have anyone to turn to. And so in the first couple of years in Israel, I made some feeble attempts to find out more. I knew of a church somewhere near Tel Aviv, the big city in the center of Israel. So I went there once, but it was too much of a stretch, too big a trip, and it didn't really bring me any answers. And then in God's providence, our family moved to the Netherlands. And then all of a sudden, from the desert of Israel, both physically and spiritually, I came to this land, well, not flowing of milk and honey, flowing of milk and very, very green, but also from the Negev, which at the time may have had 3 or 4 Messianic Jewish congregations, I came to this tiny village in the Netherlands, which had 15 or 20 to choose from. And in God's grace, I knew that if I want to know more about Jesus, the church would be the right place to go to. And so, in God's grace, I chose an evangelical church, and I went there. And I didn't speak much Dutch at the time. I was learning, and during this period of learning, during these first 2 years in the Netherlands, I started understanding more and more of the sermons and how the whole Bible was actually about Jesus. And I reread the Tanakh and started realizing all of a sudden that it is a lovely book. And it is that you have Shakespeare and that we have the Bible, but that the Bible is so much more than just a cultural treasure. It was about God, and it taught me a lot. So actually, I came from the New Testament back to the Tanakh to realize what a treasure I had in my hands. But what really made the message of the gospel sink into my life, what really made the penny to drop, was seeing how Christians in this community related to one another. So in the Christian world, there are many cliches, and one of them is how Christians are not perfect, they're just forgiven. So it's one thing to say it as a cliche over and over again. It's another thing to come from the outside and to experience it firsthand and to see what a change it makes in your life when God, in Yeshua, Jesus, forgives you all your sins, and how it affects, very practically, your marriage, your relationships within the family, relationships within the faith community, between brothers and sisters, between parents and children, even between employers and employees. And this revelation of how grace and how forgiveness work basically changed my life. So although the beginning of my story was of God supernaturally touching my life and awakening me to the reality of the Creator, the actual conversion was just sitting there in church. Nothing spectacular about it, you could say. Or is it? Because I then realized that God is speaking to us each and every time that we open the Bible, each and every time that we gather as believers. And I also experienced how the lives of the people around me, and now hopefully my life and the life of the people I'm friends with and the people who are in my family, are speaking of this same gospel to believers, but also to non-believers. All the while, I was sure that now believing in Jesus made me a Christian and therefore not a Jew anymore, because I was brought to believe that the world is divided into two categories, us and them, and Messianic Jewish people, it's like vegetarians for meat. You can't mix them. It's an oxymoron. But so actually a few years in to this experience with Jesus, to exploring what being a true disciple of Jesus, of Yeshua, is, I was very in a very friendly way confronted by some other Christians and even by other Jewish believers whom I met. And all of a sudden, I understood that if a Jewish person comes to the God of Israel through the Messiah of Israel, he doesn't all of a sudden turn Gentile. He then explores what being Jewish is all about. And when this dawned on me, I had already understood what the gospel was all about, and I have become passionate to share it with other people. But the moment that I understood this, I realized that my life's calling, and it has become also my life's passion, will be to share this Jesus with his people, with my people. Amen. And to give them, in my family, on the street, now in London, the opportunity to hear about the Jewish Messiah, to realize that what those Christian missionaries are doing is not to call them away from the God of their fathers, but to discover who the God of their fathers really is. And so it has been a tremendous privilege to be a part of God's people, and then God's renewed and restored people, and now to be part of those messengers of peace who go in many, many countries to bring this message of peace, the peacemaker, Jesus, who can really bring peace between Israel and all the other nations, but first and foremost between every Israelite and his Messiah and his God. Thank you.